This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're
suit.
Streaming. Yeah, suit. The suit is here at Bridgestone Arena, the Patron Platinum Club. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason hanging out with you today. Darren with the day off. Boys, how are we doing?
Hey, we're doing well. At least I know I am. Willie looks like he's doing well.
I'm feeling good.
He looks good.
Yeah.
He's all edged up.
Yeah, I had to edge up, you know, out in public today.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have to be on TV tonight.
Don't have to be on TV, but you got, you know, you try to look sharp.
Hey, you got to be amongst the people tonight.
We're with the people.
Yeah.
You're with the people. We're with the people's PD.
The people's PD is here. It's good to be here. Listen, I wish I could be here for the whole show, but
you guys. You're busy.
I got a lot going on. I have to go talk to the youth of America.
Yes.
It's your alma mater, right?
Chase has become a leader.
A leader among the people. I'm going to talk to FRA today. I'm very excited. It's the first time I've been back in a really long time, so I'm probably going to get lost. But
it's weird how it's a coincidence how he became the suit. Didn't get the talking engagement.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's all falling in place.
Now
here.
He's got a PR person.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ricky.
Hey, listen, in a minute, we're going to have to go to Ricky to talk to Chase.
Yeah, Ricky's my PR guy. It'd be like, hey, Rick, it's Mace. Yeah, he doesn't have time right now. Sorry.
Hey, I can get you scheduled for next Tuesday.
I get you scheduled for 3 Tuesdays from today.
So kicking things off, just right before we went on the air, which is typical with things these days, the Titans have informed Roger Saffold that they do plan to release him. I don't think that's really a surprise to anybody. As you look at the salary cap situation that they're in, and you know that, and Derek, I mean, you know this better than anybody. You've gone through this. It's a tough time of year. We use the phrase, it's a business, but for you all and you going through this, it's personal. Like it sucks. Like you kind of look at it as you got fired, even though you didn't do anything wrong. It's just because of how much you make.
Yeah. It's called, I deem it, it's personal business. That's what it is. And we all, and I mean, we all go through it eventually. Tom went through it. Peyton went through it. You're talking to two greatest quarterbacks of all time. And, you know, their teams, respective teams at one point was, you know, ready to move on from them. Jerry Rice went through it. Emmitt Smith. I mean, you just go down a line of great players. Eventually, and if you stay long enough, you will be released by a team.
Right.
So it's difficult. But if you understand what's going on and you see it, then not to say that the blow is any less, but you understand why they did it. You know, when I was released in 04, I understood why the Titans did it. Was I happy that they did it? No, I was upset. But I understood why they did it. And luckily for me, I was at the prime of my career. So I was able to have other suitors when I got released from the Titans. But, you know, not only happened to me, Samari, Kevin Carter, Joe Nedney. I mean, you just go down a line of guys Eddie George. It happened to him. Yeah. So eventually, if you stay in this game long enough, it will happen.
Yeah. And Willie, you remember that. That was kind of the first time in this city that we faced that, like as a fan base, as you know, people on the radio, what have you, of that, just that dark day in March where, you know, everybody, like all these guys that had been a part of that Super Bowl run were gone. Pretty much.
It was a reality check. And we had been told all along, and we had seen other teams have to do it. Back then in the NFL, you know, they used to call it salary cap jail, blow it up, you know, boom and then bust. That was kind of what a lot of teams did, and the Titans were one of them. So each year you're like, can they do this another? Can they find a way to keep these guys together one more year? Like I had thought maybe the year before that could happen, but they tried to keep, like that last year, 04, you started the year with still enough guys where you thought, well, maybe they got one more year. And then some guys got hurt, and it sort of
a lot of guys got hurt.
Yeah. And by the end of the year, it was fumes.
Yeah.
And so that's when you kind of think, okay, this could be coming. But still, that day is a shock.
Sure.
It's a shock.
Like now, I guess we're accustomed to it. And like today, with the moves that have happened, you know, they're releasing Saffold, they're releasing Kendall Lamb. Neither of those surprised me. Like that we just kind of knew that those were going to be coming. They have elected not to tender Derek Roberson. That surprised me a little bit. I know he's been a good member of the team. And they extended long snapper Morgan Cox, who was new last year, so they've given him a 1-year deal.
I go back to what Bill Polian told us. We had a great interview with him. And he talked about the priority, the hierarchy of positions that you value. And that's where you pay the money. And it does look to me like John Robinson has that same philosophy with the signing of Landry, edge rusher. It's just hard to find edge rushers. If you have them, you try to keep them. A guard, as great as Saffold is, at his age, they just feel like it's easier to. This is Bill Polian's philosophy. Regardless, if you're talking about 1995, 2005, or 2022, it's just easier to find a guard than it is a tackle. So it looks like Luan, I don't know what they're going to do with his contract, but I think Luan is going to stay.
I never thought they were going
to. But they're going to find a way to see if they can replace Saffold for a lesser price.
Yeah, my whole philosophy on Luan, Derek, is even though he's not. You know, he was clearly coming off a knee injury. He's not the same Taylor Lewan. You can't change the whole offensive line. And so you got to keep some anchor pieces in place. Now, I'm curious of what's going to happen at center. Are they going to re-sign Ben Jones and bring him back? Are they going to try and address that position in free agency or the draft? But again, then you're looking at, all right, you need a new left guard. Mm-hmm. Is that Dylan Radins? Is he ready for that? I don't see them moving Nate Davis over. Mm-hmm. I think he's good where he is. Are you going to need a right tackle? Mm-hmm. Are you going to bring Quisenberry back? Is he still the right tackle? I mean, there's a lot of different questions there. If you can get Taylor to restructure, which I believe he will, then you just keep him where he is.
Well, of course, you can't go in and just, you know, replace the whole left side of your offensive line, which was the best side this past season.
Yeah.
You know, you got to understand, you had an offensive line that was really good at run blocking, but their pass blocking was a little less to be desired. So now you go in and you remove Saffold. Well, you can't remove Taylor, too.
Yeah.
And Ben Jones. I think they signed Ben Jones.
I don't think he's going to cost you a lot.
I know that's what I'm saying. They're going to sign him to a lesser contract because, I said this before, the center is an extension of the quarterback. The center and a quarterback needs to be on the same page. Both of them point out everything. They control what's going on the front of the line of scrimmage. So to insert a new guy in there and a new guard, that would be tough.
Yeah.
You can hide the guard if you have two veteran guys that have been playing on that line for a long time, which would be Taylor Lewan and Ben Jones. If you can keep Ben Jones, then you can insert a new guard but hide him somewhat.
Sure.
You can help protection You can help with protection with the guard, because he's with the center or the tackle.
But if you put Raidens in the middle of that,
exactly.
you got Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you could move the tight end. You can help with the running back and help him block. And so
they got to get a tight end.
Yeah, you got to get a tight end. But there are things they can do to help out the guard.
Sure.
But to replace the center and the guard, unless you bring in a Pro Bowl, all-pro center, it's going to be tough.
So let me ask you this. Honest to God question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ben Jones is in that category of, now he's offensive lineman, so he doesn't make wide receiver money, but he's made his money.
Exactly.
Like he is at that point in his career where he's made his money. He likes Nashville. He's done his clay shoot here. You know, he's got charities. He's got roots in Nashville. It's close to home. At this point in his career, like, is it true with those guys that it's like, you know what, man, I'll take whatever. I'll just stay here. Like, I'm cool here. It's not about the money for me at this point. Does that actually exist, or is that just something we make up?
Yes and no. A guy is not going to say, I take whatever.
Right.
He's going to look at, I think Ben, made $6 million last year? If they can get him back for $3 million, I'm pretty sure he would say, hey, where do I sign? Three per year?
Yeah.
Say if they signed him to a contract, 2 years, $6 million. Or $7 million.
And you're probably going to cut him next year.
They give him some money up front, groom a center, or draft a center, groom a center, whatever they do, and at least keep him for another year. I think Ben would say, okay, I'm great with that.
Sure.
You know, because I get to be in the city another year. My hometown is right up the street. Why would I not take this deal, go somewhere else, you know, that's probably out west or further north or northeast? Why would I do that where I could stay right here in Nashville, where I have roots, I enjoy the city, my family's here, you know, my hometown's right up the street. Why would I want to go anywhere else? I could take half the money and be happy. So that's why I believe that they will do their best at trying to bring Ben Jones back. I would be surprised if they didn't offer him some type of contract to come back.
Yeah, for sure. 615-737-1025. We are up and running here at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators, of course, take on the Anaheim Ducks tonight after that thrilling victory over Dallas on Tuesday night. We'll have a lot to get into with the Predators as we go along today, including our weekly chat with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk to Mort. We're going to get the Mort Report with Chris Mortensen from ESPN at 11, and then John Clayton, the professor, at 12:30. So hitting a lot of different angles today. On today's show, as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 1025 The Game, and The Game Nashville app. You can, of course, watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome back in, Darren Donick and Chase, at Bridgestone Arena today. ESPN 1025 The Game, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Darren McFarland with the day off. As Preds will take on Anaheim later tonight. I'll have pregame coverage for you starting at 6 o'clock. And, Willie, I don't know what you're doing. You're just wandering around.
You'll be amongst the
people.
I'll be with the people.
Are you seating people? Are you going to be an usher tonight? Like, are you and Mace going to do that? Or
no, there's going to be some meeting and greeting with fans before the game. There's going to be some – I'm not sure what actually happens during the game, but –
I think that would be a fun thing to do, is have you and Mace be ushers for a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all can actually throw t-shirts in the stands. You know?
Do I get to have the gun?
That would be fun.
Get the upper deck.
So, okay, I want to throw something at you guys about the Titans. We'll get into the Preds a little bit later, but I want to throw something at you about the Titans, because this is a narrative that's come up this offseason, and it's a fair narrative to bring up. Derrick Henry won't be the same. That Derrick Henry is coming off a significant injury. We saw a extremely small sample size in the playoff game against Cincinnati where he didn't look himself. He was going to one side the whole time. He didn't have that explosiveness. And was he a factor? Yes. Was he a factor like he has been in the past? No. So the narrative is he's not going to be the same. So if that is in fact true, should John Robinson invest more in pass protection and the passing game as a whole, because this offense is going to shift to be more of a passing offense?
Nah, they're not going to shift. They don't want to shift. They shouldn't shift. If they shift, it's a bad mistake, because anytime Tenny ball more than 30 times. It's not a good. It's not good.
Right.
They need to continue. Their strength is run blocking. Obviously, they have to replace their guard, so that may help. Whatever they do with the center position, I'm sure that will help. They brought in Tim Kelly to help with the passing, whatever they call him, passing coordinator.
Passing game coordinator.
Exactly. So that might help with the protection as well, because, you know, 2 years ago, this team was excellent at, you know, they were a really good pass blocking team a few years ago. So they need to get back to that. Last year, they took a step and a half back. I don't think this team can afford to become a passing team. I think Derrick Henry will be just fine. You got to understand this. This is one of the reasons why, to me, it was like, listen, Katina lean on Foreman, because Derrick Henry had been out, 9 weeks?
Yep.
Then he comes back, and everybody just expected him to pick up where he left off. Even the Titans.
Right.
Even the Titans expected Derrick Henry. We're going to lean on Derrick Henry, and he's going to get us to where we need to go.
And why did they do that? Because he's a freak. Because
exactly.
He's something that you've never seen before.
Absolutely. And you just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't care what he was doing prior to planning that game against Cincinnati. Nothing you can do can substitute for being in football shape. You sure can do all you want to, but the minute you step across those lines and those guys start hitting you, it's a different type of conditioning. He wasn't ready physically or mentally. I don't think he was ready. Fast forward.
I don't know about mentally.
I don't think he was mentally ready. I'm not saying that he wasn't in the game. Mentally, to me, he was still thinking about that foot. So
yeah, maybe.
Fast forward 3, 4, 5 months later. He's not thinking about the foot anymore. He's back in condition. He's being bounced around, hitting everything else in mini camps and practices and everything else. He's going to be the same back or close to the same back he was before he got injured. I would bet 2 cheeseburgers, and I don't eat cheeseburgers. I bet you 2 cheeseburgers, he rushes over 1,500 yards.
Wow.
I'm trying to temper my expectations on Derrick Henry, but I do think he's capable of having another big year. Probably not a 2,000, you know, carry the team on his back, but I think an excellent season, like 1,500 yards in a 17-game season, is possible. And for that reason, now, after next year, then I think you've got to be very realistic on if he can do that again. I think if you get one more big year out of him, I think you declare a victory on the investment that you put in him. And then I think it's going to be scaled down smartly. And I'm hoping he's one of those special guys that has that Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith kind of longevity that he can keep going and being productive. But you're committed to the identity of the way they want to play. They want to... Ryan Tannehill is a very good quarterback when he doesn't have to throw it all over the field. He's not a Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, where he's going to control the game through the passing game. They don't have that personnel. They've got to be a strong running team, whether it's Henry or Henry with another guy or two supporting that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you bring Foreman back. I mean, that to me,
but I don't know if that's a definite. There's a price for that too. What's in the budget? You know, they just made this investment in Landry. This is something I always remember Jeff Diamond saying when he joined the Titans. He said, and this is still, I was getting familiar with how the salary cap works. He said, at the end of the day, it's about choices. You can keep anybody you want, really, but then you have, that creates choices, and not all those choices are fun choices. And so I think they'd love to have Foreman, but the question is, what kind of budget do you have for your backup running back? Especially
right.
When you're investing more money in your lead running back than most teams do. Most teams don't put that much money in a running back.
True.
I mean, right now, look at the market. You have Christian McCaffrey being shopped around. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley being shopped around. Great running backs. Talented running backs.
What did Tim, I heard the tail end of Tim, because I think Darren asked, what was going to happen there. He said Barkley would be traded, McCaffrey wouldn't.
Yeah, he said McCaffrey would stay, and Barkley would get traded.
I tend to agree with Tim on that. I think that that's probably fair.
So the question is,
because Carolina's not ready to give up.
When Foreman or Hilliard, you know, Hilliard's a pretty good running back too.
Sure.
When they go out to the market, what's out there? Who offers them what? And, you know, with Derrick Henry coming back, what's the offer here? What can the Titans offer them?
Right. I
just don't think it's a definite that either one of them comes back.
Well, I think Hilliard is probably going to be cheaper than Foreman if you're, you know, comparing the two. But they got to do something there. I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you have to figure out what the budget is for that position. But that position, I believe, is more important than it has been in the past. You've been able to squeak by with not addressing the second running back or having the second running back that you drafted and thought was going to be able to help you some be hurt for his entire career. It hasn't really bit you until, you know, now you look at, okay, well, is Derek going to be the same? Do we need to lighten his load some?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. And so now it is important, which gives them leverage because the player can say, well, hey, you know, it's important for you. Now you're offering me two. I'd rather have four. So, you know, it just depends.
If you look at, you know, all these running backs that are out here now, and when you talk their salary, I think the top six running backs, 10 running backs, Ezekiel, Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, Cook, Mixon, and Saquon, all those guys have had injuries. Every right. last one of them. Ezekiel's not the same player he was.
No. And McCaffrey's, I think that's a product
not,
of the position.
Yeah, Caffrey's not. Dalvin Cook's not. Saquon's definitely not. Now, Mixon is a different story. Joe Mixon is still that running back, but he's been in the league, what, 4 years, I think? Maybe
Did
somewhere.
See, Zeke?
Mixon.
Oh,
Joe
Mixon?
Four or five years, maybe. But all of those guys have had some type of injury. And eventually teams are going to look to move away from him. Yeah, so he hadn't been in the league that long.
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like he had an injury issue.
He had an injury before he came into college. I mean, before he came into the pros, obviously. And then he's had some issues in the pros.
He only played six games in 2020.
Yeah,
he so had he a missed bad basically there. The whole season in 2020, mm-hmm. if you look at it. Or he only played a quarter of the season in 2020. So all these guys are eventually going to get injured and miss games. What you got to have is that second back that is able to come in and keep up the production. Now, Foreman, again, like I said yesterday, when it comes to Rodgers, it's Rodgers' fault. He can't get traded. Why? Because he's just so good. Well, Foreman put himself in a position where the Titans can't pay him because he played so well. And somebody else is going to pay him starter money and give him an opportunity to be a starter. So, to me, they need another bruising back like Derrick Henry. That's the way their offensive line is built. That's the way their team is built. They're not built for a smaller back like Hilliard. They're built for a bruiser. So if they don't sign Foreman, which I don't think they will, they're going to have to get another bruising back. They can play that type of football.
It's interesting that how you put that. That you know they're not going to be able to pay him. I think Foreman's good, but is he a starter for 16 games? Good.
They don't want if somebody gives him they're not asking him to be the starter.
But you just said he's going to get starter money. If he's going to get starter money, then you expect him to be available.
Starter in this league, if you take out Derrick Henry, put Derrick Henry to the side because it's just he's going to carry the ball 300-plus times a year. Put him to the side. They don't even treat Ezekiel as the starter, but he doesn't get starter carries anymore.
Right, because he splits with
Because he's been beat up. That's what they're going to ask of Foreman. We're going to give you an opportunity to be our starter, but we don't need you to carry the ball 30 times a game.
Right.
15 to 20 times max, if that's it. I mean, that's it. But you're still getting starter money.
615-737-1025. You can call. You can text. on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Willie, why don't you tell us about Lee Company?
All right, let's talk Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Always remember that phone number. Lee Company is a big sponsor of our Nashville Predators hockey coverage. We'll have the pregame tonight. Hal and Pete on the call as the Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks, a very, very important game for the Predators as the race is on in the Western Conference. Vancouver and Edmonton both won last night. They're creeping up in the standings, so Nashville has to keep pace. Ducks right in the bubble as well. Lee Company, if you're coming to the game tonight, you'll see their display all over Bridgestone Arena, and they can offer so many great services for you. It's getting a little warmer today. It was kind of chilly last night. You're probably still running the heater, but remember, very soon your air conditioner will be in use every day. Have you had it checked since last summer? If you have, 615-567-1000. Call Lee Company now. Let them come out, do an assessment of your air conditioning unit, and they'll make sure it's running properly and efficiently for you. And while you're at it, ask them about their home maintenance plan, where you get that year-round coverage on AC, heating, plumbing, and electric. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
Back here, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're live at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators will take on the Anaheim Ducks later on tonight. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Talking Titans and what's next for them. If you missed the news earlier, Roger Saffold, Kendall Lamb have been informed that they are going to be released as John Robinson goes through the process of making these, not fun, but necessary offseason moves for his team as free agency will open next week. They are taking care of some business outside of Harold Landry getting the contract extension, T.R. Tart, Nick Westbrook-Akina, Morgan Cox, just to name a few, and Logan Woodside, the backup quarterback, all getting one-year extensions. What did you guys think of Woodside? I know Darren, if Darren was here, he'd be beating the drum of they need to go get a better backup quarterback, which the honest answer is we have no idea what Logan Woodside is at this point. We've seen him in a handful of preseason games, so who knows, But do you like that? Because they've pretty much said, hey, yeah, our quarterbacks are set. Ryan Tannehill's the starter. Logan Woodside's the backup.
Oh, see, this is what, what people don't understand. It's good that you haven't seen a good backup quarterback. It's perfect that you hadn't seen a backup quarterback, okay? If you see the backup quarterback, there's one or two things going on. Either the quarterback is injured, the starter is injured, or he's just not playing well at all. Which means your team's not playing well, which means you don't have the number one seed, which means you ain't getting in the playoffs. So then Woodside plays.
Yeah.
So, people, when you start saying that, they shouldn't assign Woodside back or this and that, think about he hasn't played, but he's doing something well enough that the Titans like him.
Sure.
They're liking how he's progressing in practice or when he has to take reps. They like him. The GM likes him. So, to me, unless I don't want to see him out on the field, I really don't. But I'm trusting that by them re-signing Woodside, that they believe if he does have to come in and, spill Tannehill, that he will do an okay job. If he has to play a long time, then best believe they're going to go get another veteran quarterback. They will. But at this point in time, they are confident that, one, that he's good enough and he's progressing the way they want to, and two, they won't see him on the field.
Right.
They hadn't seen him on the field in, 2 years?
Well,
Ryan Tannehill hasn't been injured.
That's something that we should not take for granted. And that is something that I think people do take for granted all the time, is how durable Ryan Tannehill has been. Doesn't miss games. Marcus Mariota always dealing with something, right? Even when he was playing.
He doesn't miss games here. He missed a lot in Miami, but
I'm talking about
since
he's been a Titan. Has not missed a game. Now, that could be different next year, but first of all, he doesn't get enough credit for that. Number two, it's about budget. We go back to the salary cap. Tough choices. Here they are. They got a lot of good players. They don't have the budget to pay more than basically the minimum or whatever they're paying Woodside. It can't be much more than the minimum. They're paying Ryan Tannehill $38 million. That's what they chose to do last year. Mm-hmm. Restructure his contract.
Be it right or wrong.
They pushed the money back to this year. Got to pay the piper. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it again, but that just pushes it back again. It's just like we were talking about the day that you guys got released, D-Mace. That's what Floyd Reese was doing. Mm-hmm. He was pushing the pile back. The credit card bill got due. It's like, we can't push back anymore. Got to cut it. But they don't have – get used to it. Logan Woodside will be the backup quarterback or somebody else that makes the minimum. They don't have enough money in the budget to do the things they need to do in the salary cap. They have to rely on Ryan Tannehill being durable again.
Yeah, Ron on our text line, do you think there's a quarterback out there like Jimmy G or someone that's willing to take a back seat knowing he's on a team
Jimmy G.
that he could potentially be the starter plus on a team?
Jimmy G is under contract. He is under contract.
He's under contract. He's going to get traded. And Jimmy G is Alex Smith. That's what I say about Jimmy G, and it's ironic because they both were in San Francisco. He is Alex Smith. He's not elite, but he's not a backup. He's a starter. He's solid. He's fine. Now, did he lose that game here against the Titans? Absolutely. Titans win that game because of Jimmy Garoppolo, because he made mistakes. But he's going to go somewhere else. And you know, you can – right now I would say there are two prime candidates for his services, Indianapolis or Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Those make the most sense.
Yeah, they do.
But he's going to be a starter next year for a team.
He will be a starter. And, again, I go back to, you know, the years we had Billy Volek. Nobody knew, you know, Billy Volek would, you know, Billy Volek was a good quarterback. He wasn't a
– He was a good backup.
Yeah, he wasn't a 16-game starting quarterback, but he was a guy that can come in and win you football games. And that's what you want from your backup quarterback. But we never really saw Billy until – we had to see him when Matt got hurt for that, I think it was 04, where he missed like seven games.
Yeah.
And Billy had to come in. And Billy played great.
Was that the Matt Mock? They had to start Matt Mock for a game because everybody got hurt?
That might have been the next year.
Yeah, it was the next year because I was here when Billy played the seven games. Yeah. But here's the deal. Woodside could be the same way. Meaning, yes, he's not a starter for a whole season, but he can come in and he can do the job for 5-6 games.
Sure.
Maximum. But we don't want to see that.
right.
We don't want to see that. But the Titans feel that if that does come into play, that he can come in and he can get the job done because of the team they have built around him. They have a solid running more than a solid running back. They a great running back at this point. They have a really good run blocking offensive line. Their defense is top notch now. What do you say to Woodside when he comes in? Just like you said to Billy Volek. Because Billy had basically the same things other than when guys started going down. What do you say? Don't lose the game. We're going to put you in a position to win.
Right.
That's all we're going to do. Exactly.
Take care of the football.
Absolutely. And that's the same thing they would say to Woodside. For those people that say Woodside's garbage, you don't know because you hadn't seen him play.
At the end of the day, you have one job as the quarterback. Take care of the football.
Exactly.
That's
and that's what they would tell him to do. You got Derrick Henry in the backfield. Hand it off to him.
A texter says, this is what we're talking about, can you guys speak on how good or not good Logan Woodside is? I'm curious because as a Titans fan, I know nothing about him.
We don't know.
You have the preseason games, which they play less of now. Uh-huh. Now there's only three. There used to be four. But that's all you have to go on. And you know, they evaluate him in practice. I don't see him as a strong arm guy. Like Billy Volek had a great arm.
Exactly.
Like he can throw.
Oh, yeah.
He can make every throw.
Yeah. But Logan Woodside, I guess, a little bit more mobility, savvy, I guess. We don't know what he would look like in a real game that has some importance. He's looked well enough in the practices and in the preseason games to warrant a job as a cheap backup on a team that doesn't have extra money sitting around. If they had extra money, they'd probably go out and get a better guy.
I'm trusting the Titans. They signed him back. So obviously, they feel that he's a good backup. If we need him to play a few games, he could come in and get the job done. And for people that say the cap don't matter, you become a GM and you become a cap guy, then you say the cap don't matter. Because the cap
name
does
names,
matter.
Name names, Derek. Name names.
Jared. And I love I love Jared to death. He know I do. But every time he says, the cap doesn't matter, the cap, I just want to pull out the hair that I don't have. If the cap didn't matter, we'll be baseball.
By the way. I owe you guys an apology because he's going to call in tomorrow at noon because he's mad at me because I made Joe Rexford the winner on Jared versus Joe.
Oh,
and I
heard him talk
and
about
I used
that,
the salary cap thing against him, so he's mad at me. So he's going to call and put me on the list.
And let me, beyond the salary cap, here's the other thing about the backup quarterback, and I say this all the time. There are less than five backup quarterbacks in this league that can save a season for a team.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, like you said, Derek, a backup quarterback, you're trying to have a stopgap. Uh-huh. Get me by for 2 weeks. Get me by for 3 weeks. Maximum five. If your quarterback goes down for the season, your team is screwed. I don't care who your backup is.
Doesn't matter.
With very, very few exceptions. Very, very few.
Could he?
Unless you have Tom Brady, who pops out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, there are Kurt Warner.
Romo.
Pops out of nowhere. Romo was named the starter when the season started. I mean,
he wasn't.
Pretty much.
No, he wasn't. No, it was because they, and here's why I know this. It was 2006. The Cowboys played here. Albert Haynesworth stomped on Andre Girard's head.
Yeah.
And Drew Bledsoe was still the starter. It was the next week
that they went to Romo.
Bledsoe started the game. He was terrible. Romo came in, and then Romo was
there. But it wasn't due to injury.
It was
Bledsoe was done.
Yeah, Bledsoe was at the end.
You had a sense by the end of the preseason.
But Romo was an undrafted
Romo
guy.
Romo was pretty good. Yeah, but they had something. But that's what I'm saying. It's a rare exception. Warner, Brady, Romo, undrafted, low draft picks who are special. I don't think Woodside's that guy. But 98% of the time, your backup is a guy that's just going to plug a gap.
He just got to hold the water for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hold the water.
Just hold the water for a couple weeks. That's all you got to do. Don't spill it.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Hold the line.
Hold it.
All right. Don't spill the water here as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase live at Bridgestone Arena, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase. We are at Bridgestone Arena today, but Elijah Campbell hanging out at the Hillside Medical Game Studio, as always. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Chris Mortensen from ESPN coming up at 11, the top of the hour here in just a few minutes, but the Predators taking on Anaheim tonight. And I got to make a confession. You guys are going to laugh at this. So balancing being the suit and still, you know, doing the on-air stuff and working with the Predators and everything that I have now, my brain feels like Jell-O sometimes. And so I'm writing out all the promos for this week that, you know, run on the air that you hear the event sweeps. And so I run all the Predators stuff. And I write out this great promo right over here after the game Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And like the Predators get a huge win in the Central Division, beating Dallas 2-1, yada, yada, yada. Next up, they'll take on the Arizona Coyotes Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, great promo. I get a text from Mike, our imaging guy, and he goes, hey, man, I'm confused. you have it all the imaging that they take on Arizona. They play Anaheim. Like, well, Coyote, Duck.
Both
Coyotes like to be Ducks.
West out there. Yeah.
A's, Anaheim, Arizona.
Spring training is over there. Yeah. You know,
so there you go. That's my life. Okay, but they do, in fact, take on Anaheim. And I'll say this. Watching the game the other night, Willie, you're on the call. It was a fun game. I mean, it's one of those that, you know, you can say, well, it was boring because there wasn't any scoring until the third period. But it was a defensive game. Both goalies played well.
Intense.
You know, Saros, man, like, just continues. There are times where there was one save he made that I thought, yeah, that's a goal for sure. And he basically gets his skate on it and keeps it out. So huge, huge win, and they got another big one tonight.
Everything is big now. I think D. Mace and I were talking about this yesterday. That it's the attention to detail on defense. I heard Hal talking about it this morning with Robbie and Rex Road. The last two games, they found their defensive structure, and they got the offense off of the defense. the defense and the structure around UC Soros is going to be the key going forward here. They cannot be a team that just finesses and tries to outgun you, even though they've had some guys that have had huge years. Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, they're making plays, which is great, but you can't be a team that is just trying to outskill you. They have to have the structure. And that has helped UC Soros get back into the groove. He was slumping. Like, he went 1-6.
Yeah.
And was giving up 3-4, 4-4, 3-5. You know, sure. That's just not UC Soros. But some of that was the team was just getting loose in front of him here. I like what I saw the last two games. If they needed to win the game in San Jose 1-0 or 2-1, they were playing the type of game that would have done that. They scored 8, but they scored 8 because they were doing it on right. the defensive end first, and then
look who scored a lot of the goals.
Yeah,
you know, it was that fourth
and on, and let's be honest, San Jose has had goalie problems.
Yeah,
and they completely. We talked about backup quarterbacks. Sometimes you got to go to that third or fourth goalie. You don't have Tony Romo in there.
He can't hold the water.
No. I mean, he can. They weren't holding the water.
He spilled it.
The bucket went everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at them, and hockey and basketball, to me, are similar in this way. And I throw football out of it because even if you play great defense, it doesn't necessarily mean that it equates to great offense. It's just because it's 11 different players and, you know, it's just totally different. But I think hockey is so unique that, you know, great defense, especially if you like the Predators, because they have a great offensive team. They got guys that can just score from anywhere. But their defense leads to scoring opportunities for the offensive end of the ice.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what happened. You know, when they scored 8 goals because of their defense. Now, like you said, Willie, they can play a 2-1 game or a 1-0 game if they have to because their defense is picking up. But if they need to turn around, they can also play stifling defense and then score goals.
That's
the unique part about the Nashville Predators. Not many teams can do it.
That's what John Hines has preached as much as anything to the guys who do score the goals, Duchene, Forsberg, Johansson. He says, you do not have to sacrifice offense to play defense, but I need you to play the defensive game. Keep that mentality. Stay in the structure. Stay in the system. If you do that, you will not sacrifice offense. The opportunities will be there. If you go looking for offense, hunting, taking too many chances, making poor decisions with the puck, trying to make a great play, that's when we get burned and we get out of our system. So John Hines has tried to stress that to the guys. And, you know, going back to the turning point last year was they really did band together and start doing it right. And they've carried it over to this year. There was a little stumble there. It's hard to go 82 games without having a slump.
Yeah, you
got to hope that was their lull, the month of February, where they just didn't have it for
and
whatever.
It's usually the month of February. I mean, it's somewhere, you know, Hal used to always call it, like I've heard Hal say this on radio several times, that's kind of when you start thinking about retirement. You're an older player, like the dog days of February that, like, man, it's just dragging on and on. And here's the other thing to consider. They haven't played an 82-game season in a while. So it's getting
and
back
a lot of young
in,
players that haven't done it ever.
Right. So getting back into that fold. One thing that really impressed me real quick from the other night, I'm always curious of when you're a team that you have an ass whipping, which is exactly what they had in San Jose. And we've seen like when you're on the other end, you bounce back and it's good, but do you get a little too high? And I think what John Hines has done such a good job of is he doesn't let them get too high. He doesn't let them get too low. And I know that's cliche, but I was very curious to see what it was going to look like. You know, were they going to come in a little too confident and then let Dallas get the best of them? And they didn't. And I think that is just as important as when you have a bad game and you bounce back.
Yeah, I think that's another thing of John Hines that I hear all the time is try to keep that even keel. Focus on the next task. He says, at this time of year, emotions start running high. Emotions were pretty high the other night, right? That hit that changed everything, the comeback, it was emotional. But you have to You have to get right back on it, just like after the bad game against Seattle, where it was emotional. They had they screwed that game up. They played terrible. How do you recover from that? How do you get back to your game? That will be very, very important, especially as they start playing basically every other night here. This is the next one tonight. Anaheim is right there. They're on the cusp. They got a lot of young players. They have some veterans they have to make decisions on. Do we trade them? Do we keep them? And they're right on the edge. They're coming off of a really bad game against Chicago. They gave up 8 the other night to the Blackhawks. So they're going to come in here stinging and desperate.
Up next, we'll get back into the NFL with Chris Mortensen from ESPN. Get the latest around the league from him as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.